found. He can be found seeking his face. Satisfies but you. There's nothing else that satisfies our hearts or anything of our needs but you, God. So, Father, we come seeking your face above everything else. There is no alternative. There is no plan B. There is God and there is no other. Father, the greatest commandment of all is that we love our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. Right here, right now, we're purposing our hearts to be present with you as you become present with us. Present with you, Father, as you become present with us. That if we draw close to you, you will draw close to us. Your word states and promises that our relationship with you is paramount. Moses said, if you don't go with us, just kill me now. If you don't go with us, then there's no reason for living. He knew that it was futile to walk out something on his own. It was futile to walk out something by himself. To lead a nation, it was futile. What are you trying to walk out right now? What are you trying to look for the answers? And the cry of your heart is, God, you got to go with me. You got to show me. You got to hold my hand. We got to walk together in this thing. What is it? If you're really seeking his face right now, you're really seeking his face for something in your life right now, I want you to raise your hand. Everybody, that's great. That's great. That's great. That's great. Right now, Father. I pray, Father, that you hear the cry of their heart right now. They're seeking your face, Father. Father, one to worship you, but another to bring clarity to their lives in areas that they need you, God. So I pray for those right now who you touch their hearts. And I pray, Father, you give them the wisdom. You give them your presence. You give them the ability right now to say it can be done in Jesus Christ. Whatever you're searching for, he has the answer. Whatever is going on right now, you lay it down at his feet. Allow him to work. Allow him to show you his favor with himself and with man. Allow him to show you his favor on your life. So, Father, This isn't Sunday as usual. It's seeking and moving and wanting your life, God. For your presence is everything. One word from you and a child was healed. One word from you and demons scattered. One word from you and lives are transformed. So, Father, I pray that that word come to each and every one who raised their hand in faith. They have a faith. They're here. They stepped out for you, oh God, to believe. And so, Father, I pray right now that they prosper in everything, even as their soul prospers. And I pray they find an answer in you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Perfect. Like that kind of, that end thing. I was going, wow. That was cool. Craig said some things last week that were that really struck my heart. And I feel like that when he said these things, there was a blast, and he touched some things. And I talked to him. I said, you know, if we want to unfold some things from the things that he had talked about last week, I'm willing to do that. And we started talking about tabernacles. One of the first things that I want to say is Happy Mother's Day. It's not just I want to share with you the significance in the church. You don't see the Feast of Tabernacles or, you know, the Pentecost or Passover type thing. You know, it's something that this nation said, okay, let's honor mothers. But the reality in the church is that there's Father God, and the church is like the mother. Is if he the bride of Christ? It goes to the female gender, and it is significant in that it shows kind of the role of the church to nurture and to raise up children, to be responsible for the household. And so in this church, there is responsibility with that. And, you know, we talked about the house, that which is in heaven, let it be done here on earth. And so you moms, thank you. Thank you for everything you do. Thank you for, you know, your hard work, tireless, endless work. There was just some stories that I heard this morning kind of going on and saying, well, you know, what are you going to do? Well, nothing. that's something for a mom to say, nothing. And I asked Sharon, what do you want? She says, I want to watch movies all day. And, you know, that's a treat for her. So okay, that's good. We'll let you do that. But just for today, all right? Well, yeah. I don't know. It might be Lifetime or something. I don't know. Handle that, please. There's a handout that I want to give as just a teaching tool. And that is what I'm handing out is what's up there. And that's what I want to talk about. But I'm handing you this piece of paper so that y'all can either write on it or take it home, and it'll be something that you can refer to. Jimmy said last week, I encourage you to look at these things, and that's one of the things that spurred me was, well, let's show them what to look at. Let's show them what they need to do some real work. Last night when we were praying, last night when we came up here to pray, we were talking also about people who don't have a foundation. Do you realize that without foundation we sink? Without foundation we will topple over and we will not be successful. We must have a foundation in Jesus Christ. We must have that foundation in Him, first of all, in relationship, but second, in Matthew 28 in the Great Commission, He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and then teaching them in all the ways, teaching them to observe all that I have taught you. So we not only must have the entrance into the kingdom of God, we'll talk about that in a minute, but we need to have a foundation in Jesus Christ. Because without the foundation, in a spiritual sense, we will fall for anything. We will take the philosophies of the world, the philosophies of psychiatry, the philosophies of anything else, And if it kind of makes logical sense, if it kind of says, oh, well, or even if it makes me feel good, then we say, hey, I'm going to believe that. I'm going to do yoga. You know, I'm going to get into transcendental meditation. You know, I'm going to learn how to truly get, you know, centered. And going, man, your center needs to be Jesus Christ. That's the throne of your heart. There's where you need to be. And so Paul says, don't fall for every wind of doctrine. Don't fall for it. Well, how do we know? Well, we have to have a foundation. We have to have a foundation of Jesus Christ. We have to have a foundation of His Word. Now, just from my own personal study, I got interested in David and turned to 1 Chronicles. Cole, can you? Have you? Okay. If you could go ahead and go to 1 Chronicles. First Chronicles chapter 12. Let me tell you the question that arose in my heart. David eventually took over the kingdom of Israel, took over the kingdom of God at that time, and I was wondering, how did that happen? You have a king who's trying to kill him, the king of the very throne he's supposed to take. And so how did the transition of this happen? I don't know. I don't know how that transition is. So I started reading about Saul trying to kill David and doing some things. And then it came about that Saul died. He was killed in war. Well, at that point, the throne was vacated. So how did it happen? How did they anoint David as king after that? Well, that's what this talks about. The kingdom of Israel was huge. Huge. All of these tribes. And what began to happen were, these men from different tribes started coming to David. And they began to support David's reign in God. We're talking 500,000, 300,000. Sometimes it was like 12, but they were captains of a house. And so in this, I was looking, wow. It was almost like Noah's Ark, I thought. It's like God said, this is the king, and this is your salvation, and this is where I'm at. There was an anointing on David, and so men began to take themselves and be drawn to David's kingdom. And so this is what it talks about. Can you go there? First Chronicles 12, starting with verse 32. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. Of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war with all instruments of war, 50,000 which could rank, and they were, and get this right here, and they were not of double heart. In the Amplified, in verse 32, it says, and they were not of double purpose, but stable and trustworthy. My heart leapt. I said, this is what I've been praying for. This is what I've been praying for in this place. That we have men and women, people of God, who are not of double heart or who are not of double purpose. They come here totally committed to what the Lord wants to do. He is the king, and they are so committed to do what he says. If we have a king, that is our place as his servant. I serve at the pleasure of my king. I love that saying. They say that to the president. They say that even to governors and mayors. They say that to people who are in authority. I serve at the pleasure of my king. That's these people. They came with their skill, with their talent, with their giftings, and they said, I'm here to serve. And man, if you look at the people that came, God just pours out. Now, these people were good, like Issachar. They were good at discerning the times. And they said they knew what to do, what Israel needed to do at the time. They were relevant. They were men who knew how to use swords and spears. They were men who knew how to go into battle. And I believe that that's what we're training here. Men and women who know how to go to battle. Men and women who are not of double purpose. But they know their foundation is in Jesus Christ, and that they know how to hear the Lord. So essential, so imperative to going forth in war. So, having said that, you can go back to the illustration, Cole. This particular thing here is the tabernacle. Is where in the Old Testament God told them, you need to make this particular structure, and we're going to, and Craig talked about the furniture within the tabernacle, within the thing, and so we are to go through these steps, and I think, again, what Jimmy said, this was a foreshadowing of what's really going on in our hearts, what's really going on in the stages, and to really look at the overall picture of the church. And so we need to realize that when we came into the outer court, we came in to meet Jesus. That's our salvation. We come in just to say, dear Jesus, save me. There are many reasons people get saved. There are many reasons. Yeah, I became saved because I didn't want to go to hell. Someone preached about hell and I went, I don't want to go there. How do I, where's my ticket out of that place? And they said, Jesus Christ. And I said, okay. So it was something huge. I remember I ran outside. I was in sixth grade. I put my face on the log and said, oh, dear Jesus, I need you. He met me. It was a transforming thing. They not only preached about hell, but they preached about the sacrifice that Jesus gave. And I said, wow, it was all great. So you come to Jesus. In that place, there's the pastor. Pastor gifting, come on in. We'll love you. You doing okay? Come on. You know, just loving those people. Making sure, encouraging them. Come on. Let's get some milk in you. Let's feed you. Let's get some strength in you. Okay? All right. I missed the first thing. The evangelist who actually comes and tells you about Jesus. He's the guy that says, hey, in that comes repentance. In this day and age, we're missing that. We're missing this step of repentance. We're saying, oh, I want Jesus, that's great and that's wonderful. But there's got to be a spirit of repentance. There's got to be a laying down of one way of life into another way of life. There has to be. Because if you believe that you can skip this step and go on into more of God, it's not going to happen. Because this sets a foundation of what's going to happen the rest of your life. You have to have the ability to repent on a dime. You have to have the ability to say, I'm going to die to myself and I'll no longer disappoint God. I'll no longer. And when that conviction comes to your life, you got to go, okay, I'm here to repent. This is what you do. This is how you do it. You can't skip this place of repentance. And this is in the outer court. I mean, we're not talking the deep things of God here. We're talking just essentials things of God. What's my thing? The forgiveness. I love that. There's forgiveness in your life. Being white as snow. It's a wonderful feeling. I've recently been counseling some people. And they've gone, man, I just feel so dirty, so yuck. So, man, we sit down and we pray, and they're ready to get into repentance. They're ready to say, I forsake all and I take him. And so we come, right? And you should see the things that just fall off of them. It just literally looks like it's falling off of them. And I said, you know, you're becoming white as snow. White as snow. You are becoming like, wow, I feel so clean. I feel so good. And man, they just bask in God. There is the forgiveness. And then over here, there's the forgotten. Can you imagine that? One of the hardest things for us to do is to forget that we were sinners. You know, to forget what we've done. Forget the past. Paul had to. Paul says, I forget what is behind and I press on to what is ahead. I think we have some people right in that area right now that, oh, I'm a terrible person. And not only can't they get past the forgotten, they can't get past forgiving themselves. I can't forgive myself. You don't know the horror. You don't know what I did. You don't, and I'm going, Jesus died for it all. How could he forgive that what I did? He bled. He was the ultimate sacrifice. He has the ability. And let me tell you, if Satan can keep you in that place of remembering your sin, you can't move past it. It paralyzes you. It thwarts what God is really trying to do. Come on. God's going, come on. Forget about that. Let's go on. I got some more stuff for you. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. I got some more for you. You don't know of all the gifts and the riches that I have in store for you because you keep on walking in the muck and the mire of your past. You just don't know. It was terrible. It was horrible. It wasn't too big for Jesus. None of it was too big for Jesus. Baptism into repentance. Over here, we have the baptism into water. And he says, got to do both. Baptism into repentance, baptism into water. Going on. We come into the place of holy. And that's the place of Pentecost. It's where the teacher comes in. It's where the prophet comes in. It is the place where we baptize into the Holy Ghost. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, there is something in your life that lacks in power. He says, I come to give you the Holy Spirit that you may have power in your life. Have you felt like you were running on a treadmill and never getting any further? Man, I'm running, I'm trying to get past this thing. The power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Spirit, being baptized into that will bring you power. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, it was right back there in that prayer room. I'd been a pastor of a church for 10 years and didn't know anything about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Friend of mine, Bruce DeLay, came, and I'm talking with him, and I knew he had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we are going to Odessa, and we hadn't seen each other in years. We're coming back, and I said, tell me about this Holy Spirit thing. I trusted him. We went to school together. I trusted him big time. All these other people they're talking about the Holy Spirit, I didn't trust as much. But Bruce, I did. He wasn't a flake. He wasn't weird. I knew him. And I'm driving, and he's there, and I keep asking him about this Holy Spirit thing. I don't understand. And he said, and he kept avoiding my question. And I got so frustrated. I was going, and I just hit the steering wheel as hard as I could, and I told him, I said, it's like you have this water and I'm thirsty, dying out here in the desert, and you won't give me a drink. Why? Why are you doing this? I don't understand. And he went, okay. His experience of being baptized in the Holy Spirit was he got fired from his job. He was a pastor, Christian church, and he got filled with the Holy Ghost. And next thing you know, he don't have a job no more. And he translated his experience to me. And so he said, okay. Thinking, well, I'm just going to let the chips fall where they may. So he said, let's go to the prayer room. So we went to the prayer room. And he laid hands on me. And I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I received one word in tongues at that point. And I still remember it was halavasita. And I don't know what that means, other than I know that halal means praise in Hebrew. And I went, wow. And all I knew was every time I said that word, it made me feel good. So I said it all the time. I was going, halavasita. I was walking around going, halavasita, halavasita, you know. And I'm getting chills even talking to you about this. And then I went home and Sharon, I mean, I'm like so humbled. I mean, I'm just like a blob, man. I'm like drained. And Sharon goes, "What happened to you?" So I don't know, but it was great. I didn't have full understanding, but it was wonderful. And at that time in the history of this place, I just tell you, we had a secretary who didn't really necessarily believe in the gifts of the Spirit. And so I'm saying, halavasita, and I'm yelling this thing. Secretary's down there at the office, and Bruce is going, "Oh, please be quiet." He's like, "Oh, man." Thing is, looking at 20 years ago from now, from when this first happened, oh my gosh, the journey that he's taken me on and this church, I'm still here. Some other people aren't. Praise God. I'm telling you, praise God. Believing for God for more. So, point of the story, desire the Holy Ghost. Because there's a scripture that says, who desires a fish and would be given a snake? Who desires bread and not be given that? He says, I'll give it to you because you desire it. You know, in this, there's also the baptism of fire. Well, what is that baptism like? Things happen in your life. Things are to be taken out of your life. You're supposed to be cleaned up. And there's a baptism of suffering over here on showbread. The prophet. Well, what is that? Baptism of fire. Get rid of things that in your life that you're going, I like to keep. You know, those are like, oh, you know, I got that sin, but I kind of like it. You know, it kind of serving me right now, and I want to keep doing it. But a baptism fire comes, and he makes you go, "Ooh, that's too hot, man! I need to get out of it." Problem I've seen recently is that they get into that hot thing, and then they run to the church, and then they get out of that hot thing, and then they return back to their vomit. It's like dogs returning back to their vomit. And you're going, there's going to come a time when you're not going to like vomit. You know? Right now you do. Don't. Okay? So, you come into this baptism of fire. But then there's a baptism of suffering. That's a whole different type of baptism. That's the baptism of going, something's happening to you, and you're going, that's not fair. That's not fair. I don't deserve that. Did David deserve to have spears thrown at him? Did Paul deserve to be beaten? Did the disciples deserve to be martyred? You're walking around looking at your rights. This is where our Constitution flies in the face of the Word of God. Where we say, oh, you have the right. No, I live by the Word and not the Constitution. I live by who He tells me I am and not what America tells me I am. And so in this, you're going, ah, but I did nothing wrong. Right, you're right. You didn't do anything wrong. But this is suffering for the kingdom's sake. This is suffering that you may die to yourself. This is a suffering. It's totally different. And when you begin to say, I did nothing wrong. Why is this happening to me? You need to understand God's calling you to a whole different level of dying to yourself. Truly dying to yourself. That one got a little quiet, didn't it? That was a, oof. Ah. And then there is the place of incense. There is the Holy of Holies up here. In this place, you truly become come into the relationship with God. You're baptized into the cloud. What is baptism into the cloud? Remember when God said, okay, I want you to come out of Egypt and I want you to be led into the promised land. And he said, there is a cloud by day and a fire by night. And he says, when that cloud moves, you move. Okay. When it stands still, you stand still. Okay. Now, who of you in here are impatient? Okay. Just telling you. Just saying, we are. It's our nature to move. It's our nature to sit, not be sitting still. For some people, Bethy, got to move. I'm more, you know, she's more the Chihuahua. I'm more of the St. Bernard. I can sit still a long time. It's like God's going, okay, time to get up. Time to get up. Let's go over here. Well, where are we going? You know, what do I need to bring? You know, come on, get up. Now, I'll tell you as we go. I'd like to know right now, if you don't mind. Think I need some baptism into the cloud? Now, which is worse, mine or hers? I would say hers. But the reality is the same. Both of them are disobedience. Both of them are saying, I want to do things my own way. So baptism in the cloud is learning how to follow God. How to go when He says go and when to sit when He says sit. And along the way, you're going to make some mistakes. You're going to sit when He said go and you're going to go when He said sit. And I'll tell you what, I still struggle with it. I still go, wow, should have gone. And I have to repeat those scriptures. God can redeem it. Please, God, redeem it. God can bring, God, you can bring it around. And you know, a lot of times it's when I get messed up, is it says, when I get that thing in my heart says, you need to call Gloria. Gloria's okay. Why do I need to call Gloria? Didn't move with the cloud, did I? Or when they say, when I think I was supposed to do something for Joseph, and Joseph may appreciate it, but it wasn't God. I gave him something. I'm not going to get the reward back from that. I have done so much unsanctified giving in my life. I wish I could get it back. But the reality is, God can redeem, right? Right. Okay. Do what? Yeah, I got something. Yeah, I got something. Because now I'm stingy as all heck. No, that's not true. That's not true. I still struggle. And Sharon's a good balance for me. I mean, I'm like, man, let's go do this. And she's going, oh, do you really think God's saying that? Yeah, God's saying that. Okay, let's think about it, talk about it. Understanding the ways of God, there's the outer court, holy place, holy of holies. A few weeks ago, a month ago, 2 months ago, I don't know, I talked about the stages of sonship. The stages of sonship. The napios, patheon, technon, weos, pater. Okay? All stages of sonship. This is it. We come into the gate of the court, and we are newborn, newborn babes. There is the way. We learn that there is a way, and that's in Jesus Christ. There is the blade. There's that which first kind of ekes up out of the ground. And there's the good. And there's the corn. And there's the 30-fold. And there's getting into the body. And then that's called the Passover, and that's the outer court right here. Okay? Now, there has to be a place where we get into the body. It's essential. It is essential that we get into the body. Mainly because that's like a baby not going to a family. What do you do with that? If a baby just recently in Midland at some daycare center, a baby was left on the step in a duffel bag. When I saw it, Sharon saw that, how could they do that? How could they abandon that baby? I mean, all of us are shocked by it. There's not a person in here that says, oh my gosh, what do you mean? Someone just left a baby out on the doorstep? What if they hadn't seen it? What if it was on a Friday? What if someone hadn't seen it and it had been there all weekend long? We would have been horrified. It would have been not a case of child abandonment, but a case of murder. I'm telling you right now, this is happening all over the body of Christ, where people are birthed without a family, and they don't even know what a family and the definition of a family is. They're birthed and no one's taking care of them. No one is feeding them. No one is nurturing them. No one is bringing them. And God's not going to stand for it. I think there's a whole transition going on. Being birthed and not taken care of. One of the great things about this place here is the 30-fold. Let's say I gave whatever I wasn't supposed to give to Joseph. But you know what? Give it. Give it back, Joseph. What is the Lord telling you? I gave it to Joseph. Let me tell you what. We got a 30-fold. I got a 30-fold promise there. I'm new. I don't necessarily know everything, but I gave it. I gave it with faith. And I think God can give me a 30-fold return on that. How many banks are you going to go give your money to and get a 30-fold return on that? Not one. It's goodness of God. It is the goodness of God right there. We come into the truth. People, be a lover of truth. Love the truth. Capital T. Love the truth with everything. Love that truth. And know that when that truth, let me tell you, the scripture that has been hacked to death, that the truth will set you free. The truth is just not something that we find as factual. It is the truth of the revelation of Jesus Christ in our lives that will set you free. That's what's going to set you free. So, this truth in this place of the Holy Spirit, Again, remember the baptism of the Holy Spirit? That's one of the things that comes into your life, is that when you read Scripture, it comes alive. Remember, I'd been a Christian since I was in sixth grade. I went and threw myself on the log. Remember that? Then, you know, pastored, went to Bible college, went to pastored a church for 10 years. I have read this book. I just want you to know, I've read it. I became baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it was like I knew nothing. I would read Scriptures, and it would just burst alive in my spirit. I went, wow, look at that. And it's still doing it today. I read Scriptures, and I'm going, there's so much life there. There's so much the life of God. He's speaking to me through that Scripture, through that Word. Here recently, maybe a year or two ago, I realized that God was giving me new insights to old Scriptures. He was giving me new insights into Scriptures that I had known forever. And it was a wonderful thing because it was His life on it. It is the acceptable. There's the good and the acceptable will of God. There's the wine. And then there's a 60-fold. This is more hit and miss on the 60-fold. And then there's our dealing with our soul. This is the body, now dealing with our soul. Over here, remember, baptism of the Holy Ghost, but baptism into fire, baptism into suffering. It deals with our soul. Then, the place that we were talking about last week is a place of tabernacles, place of the Spirit, where there's life. He is the way, the truth, and the life, the blade, the ear, and the full corn, time to be harvested, time to give nourishment. It's the time for you to do some things in God. It is the good, acceptable, and perfect. It's the perfect will of God in your life. There's the corn, there's the wine, there's the oil, there's a 30, there's a 60, there's a 100-fold, and then there is the Spirit, where I live by the Spirit. Trying to bring people into living by the Spirit, the life. You talk to them and you say, well, you know, I don't know whether I should do this or do that. And you go, where do you feel life? Starting to train people by saying, live by the law of Spirit and death, life and death. Live by that. You've heard Craig up here talk about, and something that he's really tried to teach me is, don't live out of obligation. For an administrator, that's hard to do, because those things got to be done. You know? They got to be done. And if they're not done, it causes me great anxiety. That's not living by the Spirit, folks. Living by the Spirit, saying, God, you tell me what to do. Not that we're not supposed to be responsible. Don't get me wrong. Carmen's going, yeah, because that's what you're telling me. You're telling me, be responsible. That's right. Close your ears right now. No. But to live by the Spirit is to have life. And to take you farther than what you could ever believe or think or imagine. Yesterday, probably the day before, I was talking to someone. They disagreed with what counsel I gave. And I said, you sure are free to do that. And they said, but it just doesn't make sense. Common sense would dictate that you not do that. or that we shouldn't do that. Let me put it that. He said, we shouldn't do that. I said, well, if you're going to live by common sense, the Philistines would have taken over Israel and David wouldn't have gone against Goliath. If you're going to live by common sense, you don't take 300 men and go against 10,000 soldiers. If you're going to use common sense, miracles are not in the equation. It just doesn't happen. Tell me how much common sense, Jimmy can probably really teach on this, how much common sense does it take for you to tithe 10% and live on 90% when you're not making your bills at 100%. I tell that to people all the time. You're not doing your bills. You're not making them. You're not, it's not coming out right. Are you tithing? No, I'm not making it. What about this, Arthur, you don't understand? The math doesn't work, Arthur. I'm not able to pay my bills. And you're telling me to give away 10%. Uh-huh, I am. Why? Because God doesn't work on common sense. God does not work that way. He says, if you obey me, if you obey me, I'll show you the windows of heaven open up and I will pour into you. Wow. How many of us would like that kind of blessing? Yeah, that's okay. You don't even need to raise your hand. I know you do. The reality of it is 30, 60, 100-fold. You're not going to get the 100-fold until you come into agreement to be that cheerful giver, to be that person who gives of themselves. We're not just talking about money. Scripture, good one right here. Third John. It's right in front of Revelation. Oh, it's right in front of Jude, which is in front of Revelation. 3 John, let's look at the Amplified, starting with verse 2. 3 John, Amplified. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way and that your body may be kept well, even as I know your soul keeps well and prospers. What is the prospering of our soul? What does that mean? He says, I pray that you prosper even as your soul prospers. Your soul only prospers by gaining ground in God. You have to gain ground in God for your soul to prosper. Or, what's the alternative? Remember, there's no standing still in God. There's either going forward or going back. If you are not prospering in your soul, that means you're going backwards. You're living by the world. You're living by what they say. You're living and making decisions based upon your own life and your own logic and even your own training of how you grew up. And you have to say, I got to lay that down and make my soul prosper. Okay, I'm going to read this again. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way, that your body may be kept well, even as I know your soul keeps well and prospers. Verse 3. In fact, I greatly rejoiced when some of the brethren from time to time arrived and spoke so highly of the sincerity and the fidelity of your life, as indeed you do live in the truth, the whole gospel presents. Verse 4. I have no greater joy. That is so true. I understand what he's saying. I have no greater joy than this. To hear that my spiritual children, my children, are living their lives in the truth. No greater joy. No greater joy. That my children live according to the truth. It is true. It is true of these three. But it is also true of those who I have charge over. No greater joy. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray that our joy would be complete, as Paul would say. And when he looked at the Philippians and the Ephesians, the Colossians, and he bragged about them and basically said, you know, you're doing good in some places. And I pray, Father, that the very Holy Spirit would just come to the place of holy, would help us to come into the Holy of Holies, where we're baptized into the cloud and baptized into the Spirit of the Father. And ask you, Lord, let there be a transformation. That I not live by my own will and my own strength, but I become transformed by the renewing of my mind. That I may be holy, acceptable unto you, Lord. Which is a reasonable service. I want that kind of sacrifice for you, Lord. I pray, God, that when those people raise their hand, believing for more, believing for what you have in their lives, I pray, Lord, that they do find those answers. But, Father, I pray that they would also come into more. Place of Tabernacles, God.